Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe McGee. Welcome back. We are going through the books of the Bible, and we are in the book of Job. This will be our third lesson on Job. It's a fascinating book. There's an argument among theologians, you know, what's the oldest book? Is it Genesis or is it Job? It really doesn't matter. But for this course here, we're going to start with Job. We're going to pick up Genesis after we finish the book of Job, and it's going to be really good. So, Job's three friends have come, and they're accused him. You know, it opened up in Job 1 with the devil, you know, coming before God. And God sets Job up. He said, "If you consider my servant Job, a blameless man, a righteous man." And we always laugh, "Man, please God, don't put me out of the devil." But he did, but he's trying to set up something to teach people. Because one of the oldest books of the Bible, God's trying to show everybody what's going on. There's a war going on. You know, and so we have to use our shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, helmet of salvation. We've been promised victory, but we have to fight. So the whole Bible really kind of starts off with Job and about what's going on. It's just the same pattern through all six books. You know, God's good, the devil's bad, people are ignorant. We're trying to find out what's going on. So far, replies to Job, chapter 11 of the book of Job. It says, shouldn't somebody answer this torrent of words? They're mad. His friends are mad that Job is trying to defend himself. Job, you've obviously done something wrong. They stole your cattle. They stole your sheep. Your kids are dead. Your wife's trying to tell you, curse God and die. You're broke as dirt. You got boils all over your body. You have obviously offended God something in some bad way. And so they're accusing him. And he said, should I remain silent while you babble on, Job? When you mock God, shouldn't somebody make you feel ashamed? You claim my beliefs are pure. I'm clean in the sight of God. If only God would speak, if only he would tell you what he thinks. If only he would tell you the secrets of wisdom. For true wisdom is not a simple matter. Listen, God is doubtlessly punishing you far less than you deserve. Can you solve the mysteries of God? Can you discover everything about the Almighty? Such knowledge is higher than the heavens. And who is it? Are you deeper than the underworld? What do you know? Is it broader than the earth, wider than the sea? If God comes and puts a person in prison and calls the court to order, who can stop him? For he knows those who are false. He takes note of all their sins. An empty-headed person won't become wise any more than a wild donkey can become a human child. If only you would prepare your heart and lift up your hands to him in prayer. Get rid of your sins, Job. Leave all this iniquity behind you. Then your face will brighten with innocence. You'll be strong and free of fear. You'll forget your misery. It'll be like water flowing away. Your life will be brighter than the noonday. Even darkness will be as bright as the morning. Having hope will give you courage. You'll be protected, and you'll rest in safety. You'll lie down unafraid, and you'll look to many will look to you for help. But the wicked will be blinded. They have no escape. Their only hope is death. So Job gives his fourth speech, starting chapter 12, verse 1. Then Job spoke again. You people really think you know everything, don't you? And when you die, wisdom is going to die with you. Well, I know a few things. This is Job talking. Well, I know a few things myself. And you're no better than I am. Who doesn't know these things you've been saying? Yes, my friends laugh at me, for I call on God and expect an answer. I'm a just and blameless man, yet they laugh at me. People at ease mock those that are in trouble. They give a push to people who are stumbling. But robbers are left in peace. Those who provoke God live in safety, though God keeps them in his power. Just ask the animals, and they'll teach you. Ask the birds of the sky. They'll tell you. Speak to the earth, and it will instruct you. Let the fish of the sea speak to you. For they know that my disasters come from the hand of the Lord. I didn't do this myself, guys. Only God could have done this. It's come from God. I did not do this. He knows the truth. Verse 10, for the life of every human being is in his hands, and the breath of every human being is in his hands. The ear tests the words it hears, just as the mouth distinguishes between foods. Wisdom belongs to the aged and understanding to the old, but true wisdom and power are found only in God. Counsel and understanding are his. What he destroys cannot be rebuilt. When he puts somebody in prison, there's no escape. If he holds back the rain, the earth becomes a desert. If he releases waters, they flood the earth. Yes, strength and wisdom is his. Deceivers are deceived in both, are both in his power. He leads counselors away, stripped of good judgment. Wise judges become fools. He removes the royal robes of kings. They are led away with ropes around their waists. He leads priests away, stripped of their status. He overthrows those with long years of power. He silences the trusted advisor, removes the insight of the elders. He pours disgrace upon princes and disarms the strong. Now, this is Job speaking. He uncovers mysteries of the hidden that are hidden in darkness. He brings light to the deepest gloom. He builds up nations and destroys them. He expands nations and he abandons them. He strips kings and understanding and leaves them wandering in a pathless wasteland. They grew up in the darkness without a light. It makes them stagger like drunkards. Chapter 13, Job now starts to argue his case with God. Here's what he says. Chapter 13, verse 1. Look, I've seen all this with my own eyes. I've heard it with my own ears, now I understand. I know as much as you do. You're no better than I am. Ask me, I would speak directly to the Almighty. I want to argue my case with God himself. As for you, you smear me with lies. As physicians, you're worthless quacks. Great translation. If you can only be silent, that's the wisest thing you can do right now. Listen to my charge. Pay attention to my arguments. Are you defending God with lies? Do you make your dishonest arguments for his sake? Will you slant your testimony in his favor? Will you argue God's case for him? What will happen when he finds out what you're doing? Can you fool him as you fool people? No. You'll be in trouble with him if you secretly slant your testimony in his favor. Does his majesty terrify you? Doesn't your fear of him overwhelm you? Your platitudes are as valuable as ashes. Your defense is as fragile as a clay pot. Be silent now and leave me alone. Let me speak. I'll face the consequences. Why should I put myself in mortal despair and take my life in my own hands? God might kill me, for I have no other hope. I'm going to argue my case with him, but this is what is going to save me. I am not godless. If I were, I could not stand before him. Listen to me closely what I'm about to say. Hear me out. I prepared my case. I will be proved innocent. Who can argue me over this? And if you prove me wrong, I'll remain silent and die. Since Job asked, how's he sin? Oh God, grant me two things, then I'll be able to face you. Remove your heavy hand from me. Don't terrify me with your awesome presence. Summon me and I will answer. Let me speak to you. And you reply. Tell me what I've done wrong. Show me my rebellion, my sin. Why do you turn away from me? Why do you treat me as your enemy? Would you terrify a leaf blown by the wind? Would you chase dry straw? You write bitter accusations against me and bring me up all the sins of my youth. You put my feet in stocks. You examine all my paths. You trace my footprints. I waste away like rotting wood, like a moth-eaten coat. And so all of a sudden, he ends his case. So here's a little summation. He's got four friends involved. So I'm just going to highlight this because this is one of the most powerful books in the Bible. He goes to chapter after chapter after chapter. He's defending some. Job knows he has not sinned. Now, he's upset about some stuff, but he knows I've done no wrong. So his friend Eliphaz, Job 4, verse 8, my experience shows that those who plant trouble, cultivate evil, and they'll harvest the same. So Eliphaz said, you know you've done wrong. You wouldn't be going through all this if you hadn't done wrong. Bildad, Job 8, verse 3, does God twist justice? Does God Almighty twist what is right? Your children must have sinned against him, so their punishment was well deserved. Zophar, another friend, Job chapter 11, verse 6. If only he would tell you the secrets of wisdom, for true wisdom is not a simple matter. Listen, God is doubtless punishing you far less than you deserve. Elihu, Job 34, verse 36. Job, you deserve the maximum penalty for the wicked way you have talked. Then Job, chapter 6, verse 29. Job says, stop assuming my guilt. I've done nothing wrong. So what does God do? He begins to respond to questions. God begins to put Job to the test. God has gone the whole book of he's not said a thing to Job. And all of a sudden, chapter 30, verse 4, God begins to talk to Job. And all of a sudden he says, because Job has just uttered this stupid statement. You know, I never should have been born. I wish I was dead. And God said, what did you just say? And Job knows God's talking to him. He knows. And he won't answer God. So chapter 38, verse 4, God says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you know so much." Job won't answer. Job 38, 31, God says, "Can you direct the movement of the stars, binding the cluster and loosening the cords of Orion?" Job can't answer that. Job 39, 26, "Is it your wisdom that makes the hawk soar and spread its wings toward the south?" Job can't answer. Finally, in Job 40, verse 4, Job says, "I'm nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I will cover my mouth with my hand." Then in chapter 42, verse 6, Job says, "I take back everything. I take back everything I said. I said in dust, I said in ashes to show my repentance." He said, "I'm sorry, God. I've said too much. I've been too mouthy. Forgive me." So, the last book, verse 7, the Lord has finished speaking to Job. Then he turns to Eliphaz, the Temanite. "I'm angry with you and your two friends, for you have spoken accurately about me, as my servant Job has. So take 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job, offer a burnt offering for yourselves." He said, "You've been wrong. You accused me falsely. Job has not, but you have. You think you've been right? So go to Job. Take rams and bulls and go have him pray for you. Have my servant Job pray. Have the man that lost everything. The kids have died. They stole his cattle. They stole his sheep. His house fell down. Bulls of my. Have him pray for you, and I will accept his prayer on your behalf. And I will not treat you as you deserve, or as you have not spoken accurately about me, as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz and Bildad and so forth and Laman did as the Lord commanded, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. Who? The Lord accepted Job's prayer. Verse 10, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Then all of his brothers and sisters and former friends came and feasted with him in his home, and they consoled him and comforted him because of all the trials the Lord had brought against him. And each of them brought him a gift of money and a gold ring. Verse 12, so the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 team of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He gave Job 7 more sons, 3 more daughters. He named his first daughter Jemima, the second Keziah, the third Karina Brooch. He said, in all the land, no women were as lovely as the daughters of Job. And their father put them into his will along with their brothers. And Job lived 104 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and his grandchildren. Then Job died an old man who had lived a long, full life. Now, if you read the book of Job, toward the end of his life, they ask him. He was having dinner one day, had friends over, and somebody asked Job, "What was all that stuff that happened to you? You know, they stole your cattle, they stole your sheep, and, you know, you went broke, and your house collapsed and your kids." And by the way, people have asked me, well, Job only gave him 10 children back because he had 10, he left. And so he didn't double the number of children. He doubled the gold, he doubled the silver, he doubled the cattle, doubled the sheep. He didn't double his children. Well, no, when Job gets to heaven, he won't have 10 kids. There'll be 20 kids in heaven. God didn't double the number of kids. And so when he realizes something, they were asking him toward the last chapter, "Job, what do you think that was that happened? You know, all the stuff you went through a few years ago." And Job answered and he said, "I don't know." Job never really knew what happened. All Job knew is he put his hands in God's hands. All I know is God's God. And he said toward the end, he said when God was confronting him, Job said, "God, I don't care if you kill me. I got bulls. I'm broke. My wife wants to curse you and die. I don't care if you kill me. I'm going to serve you with my last breath." At that moment, God turned to the devil and made the devil take his hands off of him. This is what you wanted. You thought Job would curse me and die. For all the things you brought against, for all the hell that's landed on him, the broke his nerves, sick, boils, kids dead, for all that's happened, he still honors me. He still serves me. And that's what God's looking for in every relationship. Everybody gets born again. What does God want? A one-on-one relationship. You know, every time Jesus did a miracle, the first thing he did was put his lips up and he said, shh, don't tell anybody. He didn't take out a billboard. He didn't tell people how many miracles he had done. It was a one-on-one relationship. God wants a relationship with you personally. He wants a relationship with me personally. It's my relationship with God. It's not how big a church, how many people we have. And those things are all good. No, he wants a one-on-one relationship. And there's nothing more powerful than knowing who's your friend. The Bible says that I, as a believer, can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. When I need some, I can run to God, not away from God. I mean, you can run into God all out of breath, and God can ask you, son, where you been? Well, I've just been hanging out. I thought I'd come hang out with you. Were you in trouble? I might be. Have you sinned? I think I have. The Bible says, when you have sin, you run to God, not away from God. God's the only one that can forgive me my sin, the only one that can redeem me, restore me. The Bible says, whatever the devil has stolen from me, God will make him pay back sevenfold. I go to the throne to get mercy and help in time of need. When do you need mercy? When you've sinned on purpose. Now, what's mercy? You know, blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was walking down the road, and somebody whispered, and he's been blind from birth. He's a beggar on the side of the road. And so every day people go by, and he's begging, you know, mercy, have mercy. And all of a sudden they heard Jesus was coming. He'd heard the stories. Hey, that healing rabbi's coming. And old blind Bartimaeus said, who? Yeah, the healing rabbi. So all of a sudden, rabbi starts to yell. Now, he can't see him, but he knows he's coming down the road with his disciples. He begins to yell, mercy. Mercy, son of David, have mercy on me. And the apostles tried to quieten him, you know, to get Jesus on by. And Jesus said, no, who's this guy yelling? Because mercy stops God in his tracks. Mercy will stop God Almighty in his tracks. Mercy, son of David. And Jesus stopped and went over to the blind men and said, what can I do for you, blind men? Now, I know they made some great translations. Peter is always kind of sticking his foot in his mouth. Peter tries, well, Lord, he didn't have any eyeballs. And so, Peter, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the blind man. And he asked the blind man, what can I do for you? And the blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus gave him a brand new set of eyeballs. So all of a sudden, later on the day, the Sanhedrin, the Romans, they drug him down to the court. And they grilled this blind man who now can see. Everybody that knew him knew he's been blind from birth, but that Jesus guy put a new set of eyeballs in his head. And so they're grilling him down and said, do you believe this man's the son of God? They're grilling Bartimaeus, who now has a brand new set of eyeballs. Everybody that knows him knows he could never see, but now he can see. That Jesus guy did a miracle. And here's what they want to know. Do you believe this guy's the son of God? Oh, Bartimaeus said, I don't know. All I know is once I was blind and now I see. I got my eyeballs back. He didn't become an evangelist. He didn't start pastoring church. He just got his eyeballs back. Jesus came to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast the devils. He came to set the captives free. When did they become captive? When Adam and Eve sinned. Satan became the legal god of this planet when Adam and Eve sinned. But Jesus Christ is now Lord. I've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of God's dear son. I still live on an alien planet, but I don't belong to it. I got the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit and the helmet of salvation. My job is to storm the gates of hell. My job as a believer, and I tell my whole family, our job is to help the sick, give water to the thirsty, food to the hungry, help orphans, help widows. We're to leave everybody better than we find them. That's our job. Every day you get up, what are you going to do today? Leave people better than I find them. That's what a believer does. And that's what's going to make all people ask us about the hope that's in us. How come you have hope? I know Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I put my faith in him. He was raised from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father praying for me. I have an eternal home in heaven. He's going to order my steps, direct my paths, guide me to all truth. He has now given me the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit talks to me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All I have to do is listen and obey. If you're willing and obedient, the Bible says, you eat the good of the land. So, guys, thanks for listening today. Book of Job is a great book. Take some time. Get you a good liberal translation. Again, my favorite is the New Living. And just take some time and take a week and read through the book of Job. It is the most fascinating, entertaining book, and it sets the pattern for the entire Bible. You'll really like it. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage and your family succeed.